But Swain's World is in Southeast Georgia, and it's off the beaten path, if you will. So Swainsboro, that work actually closed its doors for about 7 years, and some brethren came and reopened the doors, if you will, about 13 years ago. And they had struggled. You had some personality issues, you know, in that congregation at the time. And matter of fact, the preacher who had come back to help, they didn't know until later that he had the early stages of Alzheimer's. So that would explain his erratic behavior. So another preacher came in after him and got things going. So I'm just trying to help out the building. This is what I've done since I graduated from the Memphis School of Preaching in 1994. I know my home state. I love it. I said I love the church more than anything. And so I could have gone and preached, as it were, for larger congregations. But small works out here, they're just as important to God as larger congregations. You know, a lot of people love to be members of a 200, 300, 500 member congregation, some of them so they can just blend in. But, you know, the small work, everybody has a contribution to make, just like a, quote, medium-sized or large congregation. So our greatest challenge was certainly, first and foremost, was getting the membership sold on the idea that God can take a few and do great things with it. So I've been there now almost 3 years. March will be the third year I've been with them. And I accepted this challenge. I've done it two times before, and I do it as long as I got my health and right mind, as it were. So Swainsboro is the largest city in the county of Emmanuel County. It's kind of a little ironic, but that's what it's called, Emmanuel County. Now, sadly, the church is very weak in that area. And so we're working on that. It's a step at a time. And I preached a series of lessons from the book of Nehemiah, encouraging the brethren. Reached out to the elders here, and they are supporting us financially. Our building, I don't know how the building is, but when the building was abandoned, as it were, it fell into disrepair. And so I share with Brother Polk them and others who are supporting us that these are the challenges you face sometimes when you're trying to get things done for the Lord. There were 8 or 9 men, and most of whom were supposedly very reputable in the field of, you know, contracting and carpentry. And so none of those men showed up. But see, you don't give up. And so persistency is one of the P's. I didn't put it in chapter 1, but that's the theme throughout the book. And so what happened? Reached out to another friend of mine. I said, do you know anyone? He said, yes, I know a good man, Brother Jack Smith. He's a carpenter. He's kind of semi-retired, but he's helping us. And he actually was a member of that church over 3 decades ago. And so he's very familiar with it. And some other brethren are coming from Millington, right outside of Memphis. They'll be here next Friday. They, too, are supporting us. And it's we're trying to, like I told Brother, I said, we don't need a cathedral. I said, we just need decent accommodations, and that's all we need. I texted him pictures, and now we're going to look at the before and after pictures. We'll send those, and we'll get those printed off. Because I told him, I said, if it's the Lord, everything we do for the Lord is first class. Absolutely first class. And I'm not talking about spending the Lord's money, you know, like some of our brethren, millions of dollars on a building. That's silly. Unless you got something going on that needs to, you know, that necessitates that. But in Swainsboro, that's what we're doing. We're just, you know, we got carpet in there probably almost as old as I am. And I'm not exaggerating. So that carpet is. So, and then I challenged the brethren. I said, we too have a building program going, and, you know, we talked about, as it were, sacrificial giving. I'm almost hesitant to use that term with us here in America because, you know, a lot of us, we don't sacrifice. We kind of know what the word means, but implementing that in our lives, that's a different story. So Swainsboro, pray for us. There's some things we're working on. We've had a lot of success, and God is working, you know, with us and through us. But our main emphasis has to be Ephesians 3, 10, and 11. We are to make known the what? The manifold wisdom of God. So I'll be around today. If you got any questions, certainly can talk to me. Let's get back to this book, Nehemiah. The Christian in the book of Nehemiah. We've already looked at the first chapter. I kind of did this in reverse, but my introduction I'll do now because it's more suiting that we do that. We think about Nehemiah. Of course, think about Nehemiah's composition. Now, what does that mean? He was made up of what? The identical material we are made up of, right? Wasn't he? He was a man. So he wasn't a so-called super saint. In actuality, there was only one super saint. Who was he? Jesus, right? Nehemiah's composition, he was 100% human. Everything you and I experienced, he experienced. He was one who struggled. Think about when he heard about the city of Jerusalem and the remnant, and that's really what they were, just a few of the millions of that nation. And notice the destruction of sin, the destructive nature, rather, of sin. Not only was that city destroyed, families were destroyed, lives were destroyed. The Babylonians had no mercy on even the aged. But Jeremiah painted the picture and told them this was going to happen if you don't repent. Sadly, they didn't repent. You know, in America, the economy. And what's happened to our morals in America? On an avalanche, aren't we? Now, if you got spiritual eyes like Nehemiah had, you see what's on the way. You see what's on the way. Maybe they'll do to us eventually what they did to Jeremiah, try to shut up the preacher. They're trying to do that, aren't they? They call it hate speech, don't they? That's what they call it. So we got to be ever mindful. The devil is relentless in his pursuit. Now, he can't destroy the church because the seed that the Lord left behind to what? To produce the church is incorruptible, undefiled. It's not subject to decay. So as long as we have the seed, we have the church, don't we? As long as we have the seed, we have the church. But how can I relate to Nehemiah? How can I relate to him? Number one, he and I made in the image of the same God, aren't we? Right? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God speaks about discouragement, but he says that there's nothing you and I have experienced that others haven't already experienced. It seemingly wasn't that long ago, but it was over 30-something years ago. You know, this was customary. It's not as often, it's not as frequent as it once was when they built homes. And it was customary to have a medicine cabinet usually in the bathroom. When you open up that medicine cabinet, what's in that medicine cabinet? The medicine that you're supposed to be taking and sometimes you're not taking. Now, if you're young at the time, as I was, you know what was in there? There wasn't no medicine in there. I had all these different shaving creams and all this smell good stuff. But now as I age, guess what happened? Open up that medicine cabinet if you got it, and what's in there? Medicine, right? And you know you're on the decline when you can't remember, okay, which medicine I'm supposed to take when. Now you can put an app on your phone, but then you misplace your phone like you misplace your keys, and what happens? You still don't take your medicine. See that brother over there looking for his phone? I caught you. So what is he saying to us? Nehemiah. Now, I'm talking about his composition. That tells me something. I can remember some things in my 20s, maybe even my teen years. But time flies, doesn't it? You only have a short space of time in reality to get things done. And if we procrastinate like we all have done and do on occasion, what happens? Doesn't get done. He was a man. He had challenges like all of us in this world, in this life, the Christian life. He faced a plethora of challenges, didn't he? He was not a free man. Think about that. He was not a free man. He couldn't come and go as he pleased. Now, I can jump in my car right now and keep driving until I run out of gas. I can go down to Miami, not that I want to go to Dade County. I always tell my relatives, I say, I know 72 hours I'm up out of here. I can't do Dade County. But I can go over to Alabama, not that I want to. Why? We can travel freely in America for the most part, right? We can do that. He couldn't do that. He couldn't. We have constitutional rights and privileges, don't we? This man was not a citizen. He was not a citizen. He was the property of the state, really. That's what he was. He was a property of the state. So this is one of his challenges. He could have easily said what? Well, I want to go, but I know they won't let me. Therefore, see, difficulties don't equate to defeat. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean that it cannot be accomplished, right? And so here he is. He could say, well, I don't have my freedom. I'm not a free man. Had a very dangerous job or occupation. Imagine that job. You have to drink because, you know, assassination was customary. I ain't gonna say customary. It was frequent in that day. And the king, it was wise on the king's behalf. All right, he drinks the wine or whatever that is. Okay, he doesn't drop dead. Now the king can do what? King can drink. He had a very dangerous occupation. Very dangerous occupation. Those guys, since we're in this Navy town, think about those guys on those warships out there. And those planes are coming in and, you know, leaving off. That flight deck is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. Here he is. Any day, any sip, and he's what? He's gone. Very dangerous occupation. Now, I wonder this. He served it with honor, dignity as a man of God. Isn't that the same thing about this was said about Daniel, Daniel chapter 6? The Bible said there was an excellent spirit in Daniel, meaning that Daniel was faithful. Daniel was faithful to God. And when I'm faithful to God, everything and everyone else falls under God. And if I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as the Bible commands, just being a Christian means that I'm going to have some enemies. Sad is the Christian who thinks what? I'm a Christian. I try to do right all the time. Why do people hate me? Hello? Have you read the book? Seriously, have you read the book? Have you read the book? He said, I called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Those who love to be in darkness hate the what? They hate the light. They hate the light. The contrast, it's an either or proposition. The contrast, there can never be light and darkness coexisting. Whenever the light comes, what happens to the darkness? It goes away. What is he saying to us? Even in a heathen nation with no freedom, no civil rights, no constitutional rights, this man was still prospering because he followed the Almighty. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I don't refer to them by their pagan names. They prospered because they were faithful to God. John the Baptist prospered. So wait a minute, he had his head cut off. All that allowed was for him to go on to paradise. That's all that allowed for him to do is to go on to paradise. Stephen, the first martyr of the church. I don't know how long he was in the church. Church was in his infancy period. He died. What happened? Did the brethren cry over him? Did it? Bible said great lamentation. What happened? He went on to what? He went on to paradise. So think about this here. If he was a slave, a property of the state, he probably didn't own anything. Through the generations, you know what many brethren have said? Oh, if I can't wait. If I ever stop making this amount of money, I'm going to give to the Lord. Stop lying. You're a liar. If you don't give now, the more you make, the more you're going to spend. One of the most profitable businesses in America is self-storage. Self-storage. Name tells it all. Nah, I'm going to get in trouble. Already, some of the men probably going to be mad at me. Bro, Grimp said, I'm going to love my wife. I'm just joking. I heard a sister say she got 8 pair of black shoes. For real? She was trying to explain to me why she needed that black shoe to work with that outfit or those outfits and how that black shoe did not really work with. Okay, okay. 8 pair of black shoes. And we take and we twist the word need. No, you don't need to get up 2 in the morning and call QVC. They know us. The only day QVC is closed is when? Y'all know, tell me. See that? Why do they know? See? That's the only day out of the year they're closed. You know why they're rejoicing? They got all of your what? We can rejoice today. It's been a good year, very prosperous. But here's a man. His challenges were many. So he didn't have much wealth. Those, that remnant in Jerusalem, they too did not have much what? They didn't have much wealth. He didn't let that deter him or stop him. Now, the providence of God. You remember reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 where Paul speaks of this great and effectual door open. You know what he was acknowledging? Providence of God. Things I can't do myself, I'm going to leave in the hands of whom? In the hands of the Lord. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We never launch out because we say, oh, everything has, no, I can't control everything. Let me go on one of my pet peeves. What did God tell Noah after the flood? He said, there will not be a failure of the seasons. Puny man thinks he can affect God's weather. Professing themselves to be wise, they have indeed become what? Fools, right? There was a man on radio saying, because of quote-unquote climate change, spring of 1975, still remember this, I was in sixth or seventh grade, and they told us the earth was, in 40 years, the earth was going to freeze over because of pollution. They abandoned that, and they went from the earth freezing over to global warming. Uh-oh, they had to abandon that because the earth started cooling down. Yeah, then we read the almanac and go back and look and say, wait a minute. When that, way before the Industrial Revolution, the earth was heating up and cooling down. Who was doing that? How blasphemous is it, so-called Mother Nature? See, never use that term because that's blasphemy. What's God teaching us? This is my Father's what? My Father's world. Brother, that's a spiritual issue. God can close his own climate. I said, you want some global warming? I had to tell my uncle that. Some global warming, you know what that is? That's some in the South, isn't it? Global warming, but they're trying to indoctrinate your children and your grandchildren to accept that foolishness. because they want to control the mind. They want to control the minds. And the masses have been controlled by one or two evil individuals throughout human history. Back to my lesson. We already spoke of enemies because he was faithful, working against them. Now, something we note, chapter 6 of this book, verses 17 through 19. Some of his own brethren were working against him. That was one of his challenges. He said, I can accept somebody outside of the body working against me. But some of his own brethren were working against him. We wish it weren't the case, but it is still the case. That there are voices they love. Y'all got to watch out. I'm going to tell you how it works now. Group text. See, they ain't got to call everybody. Now all you got to do is put a group text. What do you think about that? How do you like it? Next thing you know, here comes Brother Me Too. Who is that? I don't like it. Me Too. That's Brother Me Too. Hadn't had original thought since 19 whenever. Me Too. Here's Nehemiah. Nehemiah had to deal with traitors. He had to deal with traitors that looked like, sounded like him. He had to deal with them. They were conspiring against him all the time. What about his courage? How did he confront in chapter 2, the latter part of chapter 2? How did he confront the enemies? Notice the verse 10, we're introduced to the key enemies. Nehemiah chapter 2, we're introduced to them. It seems just like that doesn't seem to fit. But now, if you walk with God, you know why early in the book we're introduced to those men. Why? Because, you ever thought about this? We are the only ones. We are absolutely the only ones on the planet. If we live according to God's will, we're the only ones that have a mandate to be nice, let's say Christian-like, Christ-like, to our enemies. You know how hard that is? It seems to go against your nature, doesn't it? It seems to go against your nature. When he says, bless, love your, wow. You're talking about let's go back to Genesis 4. You're talking about the will of God as opposed to the will of man. Some of us, we were that child growing up. And I believe this with all my heart. Certainly God gives us all our personalities, right? And they do have what is called the alpha personality, the strong personality. It exists. It absolutely exists. And so that child, he doesn't back down that much. He's a strong-willed child who will be a strong-willed adult. And we all want our children to be what? Calm nature. Do everything we tell them to do, when to do it. I approached my mother one time, my youngest son, Jonathan. I said, can I trade him, man? Can I trade him? Mom said, no. I said, I guarantee I can get a better model. Cheaper. I had no holes in my wall. Joshua was there, quiet. And Jonathan is a different whatever. But that strong-willed child, sometimes it appears he's rebelling. But what he's actually doing is he's standing up for himself because that's part of his personality. Now, some people do this when they're challenged. They shrink back, don't they? Some people say, ooh, I don't like confrontation. I've worked with brethren like that. Now, confrontation, I don't know what that means, but that's what that means? Okay. That's what that means, wink, wink. So, look at came. We're talking about the will of man as opposed to the will of God. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the will of man as opposed to the will of God. What happens? The will of man wins out in Cain's life in Genesis 4. The will of God wins out for all of us and benefits all of us in the life of Christ. Not my will, but what? Thy will be what? Be done. It takes a very courageous man to do what God says, even though it feels as though it's going against my nature. When he said, love your enemies, bless them. What is he saying? The metamorphosis, the transformation in my mind. It looks strange. It sounds strange to people who don't walk with Christ that you are treating that man and you're treating that woman. You're treating your literal enemy. Not with disdain, but you're treating them with dignity. Why do you think these lawyers make so much money? People are motivated to get revenge. Let me move on. Nehemiah's compassion. We've already marked that earlier. His compassion. That word compassion means to come alongside, to suffer with, to put yourself in that person's place. And that's the only way you and I can be benevolent, is to have and to possess compassion. If you're taking notes, Matthew 14 and verse 14, Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. What about his conquests? There were many, weren't there? There were many conquests. Victory after victory after victory after victory was his. Why? He never strayed away from God's prescription or that formula God gave Nehemiah. And go back and read chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. This man stayed with the book, didn't he? You know what he did not try to do? He did not try to become God. He did not put himself in the place of God. He knew his